Matanan are part of our leadership group, and they also head up Reach Out, which is our outward-facing ministries of various sorts, and I've asked them to lead this morning. So Anne's going to teach, and then she's going to explain what these balloons are for.
So today is the first Sunday in Advent. Not just the start of the Advent calendar, not just buying presents, Black Friday and Super Saturday and all the rest of it, and not just decorating a tree, although all those things may be happening in Advent. Advent is often described as a time of expectant waiting for the celebration of Jesus at Christmas. It's derived from the Latin word adventus, which means coming. And for me, Advent is a chance to reflect on who Jesus is as I expectantly wait and prepare for celebrating his birthday later in December. So I've started doing that early this year, and this morning I wanted to share with you some of who Jesus is to me. So as I try to become more like Jesus, there are many characteristics and attributes that I'm trying to develop in my life, which I see when I read the Bible and read the stories of Jesus. At the moment, for me, the theme of justice resonates really strongly. The Jesus I know didn't tolerate things which weren't quite as they should have been, quite as God intended. And so during Advent this year, I'm challenging myself to take time out from the shopping, the feasting, the decorating of trees, eating of Advent calendars, to make a difference in the lives of those around me. And I'll be inviting all of you to join in with that this morning. I also hope that this Advent will inspire you this morning to reflect on who is Jesus to you. What are the characteristics and attributes of Jesus that you long to see more of in your life? Who is Jesus? Is he a stranger or is he a close friend? Is he an insignificant baby in a story or is he a powerful leader? What do you read of Jesus doing that you would like to do more of? Who is the Jesus who you identify with? And what do you plan on doing to become more like him? So would you join me in reading from Matthew 21, 1-13, which is today's Church of England reading for the first Sunday in Advent. So as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. So, who is Jesus to me? Well, when I read this passage, I am drawn to a few things. Firstly, the Jesus I read about and have come to know entered into Jerusalem gently and humbly, riding on a donkey. Yet there was a large crowd following him. There was energy. People were drawn to Jesus to find out who he was. And then when I carry on reading, I'm really struck by the contrast when I read that Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. Now, some of you might have seen the Jesus film, which was made in the late 70s, which portrays this bit of the Bible as an indignant Jesus, striding into the temple, angry, overturning tables. He was sad and upset by what he saw. And Jesus' righteous indignation stirs him to action. The feeling of, this isn't right, this isn't good enough, is followed by action and then restoration to how things should be, with the blind and the lame being healed, with children coming in, with praises in the temple. I love that Jesus doesn't just see something and stop, but he sees something and acts to make it right and to replace it with something good. The temple courts were set aside as holy places for worship, and yet they'd become overrun with people who just saw an opportunity to take advantage of people coming to worship and to make money. And I have to admit, the first few times I read this, I didn't fully understand the significance of what I was reading. I understood Jesus was angry, but didn't really get why he was so angry. So I did some research, which I'd love to share with you. When this was written, Jerusalem was under Roman occupation, so Roman money was used everywhere apart from in the temple, where the Jewish authorities said that only Hebrew money could be used. So in order to make this easier for people, money changers were allowed to set up tables and benches, bench being where we get our word for bank from, apparently. They could set up their tables and benches in the temple to help people to change their money so they had the right currency for the temple. But it got extended. So they didn't just change Roman money. They changed all foreign currency. And there were also tables selling animals, birds and other things for sacrifices in the temple. We read of doves in this particular passage. But the thing that I think Jesus was really outraged by as I read this is that the money changers were using God's holy temple, a place of worship, in order to make money and take advantage of those coming to worship. The exchange rates were set so that the money changers earned money when people changed from Roman money into the Hebrew shekels. And then when the priests in the temple wanted to change the money back into Roman money so they could use it, the money changers made even more money. So they did pretty well out of the whole business. It was also thought that people could take out loans with interest rates of up to 300% on a loan so that then you could give some money and worship at the temple. So it strikes me that this wasn't just a convenient, very helpful banking service. This was actually people exploiting those who'd come to worship, and that is what Jesus was protesting. That is what stirred him into action. You might be able to think of some examples a bit closer to home. There are many people trying to make money from people in society, whether it's exorbitant interest rates or payday lenders. Whatever it is, I'm interested in what Jesus' response was, what he did about it. Jesus was and still is someone who just would not tolerate injustice in the world around him. And I want to be someone who doesn't tolerate justice in the world I see around me. I want to do something as I see Jesus did. For me, this awareness of injustice is felt most strongly when it's to do with poverty and inequality, which I see all around us. It breaks my heart that there are people, some of whom may be in this room, many of whom live within walking distance of where we're sat right now, who just can't afford to put food on the table at each mealtime. It breaks my heart that many live in fear of a knock at the door, of checking their balance at a cash point, of a bill bouncing or a card payment being declined, just as a result of debt. It breaks my heart that many children will grow up only knowing one parent or being fed lies about their other parents, where relationships are broken down and people are just really hurting. And it breaks my heart that the most vulnerable in our society aren't always given the support and opportunities that they deserve. Now, for each of these examples and many more, the Jesus I know is actively doing something to turn these situations around, whether we see it or not. Now, here at Leeds Vineyard, we have close links with projects and people who are committed to transformation on all of these fronts and many more, putting God's love into action. It's a phrase you may have heard around here a lot, part of our strapline of love God, love people, love in action. Now, as a community, we want to listen and learn from the teachings of Jesus. And we want to be known as a church who is honest with money, who has a desire to reach the poor. And we want to see justice for the broken and less fortunate in our society. We don't want to just try and do good or feel good or be doing the right thing, make ourselves feel better. But we want to do our best to follow Jesus' example and put his teachings into action. As we become followers of Jesus, that's what we do. We try to be more like him and try and do what Jesus would have us do. So this morning is an opportunity for us to do just that, for us as a community to join together and to respond with some action. So today we have Gwen Proctor here, up the front here, from the Vine Debt Advice Centre. And along with a wonderful team, Gwen works with people who just want to get out of debt. She brings befrienders and others around them, and we try and demonstrate God's love to people in desperate situations. And Gwen is seeing lives transformed through the work that she does, the work of our centre. We also have Elaine Sadler from the Vine Child Contact Centre. Elaine's over there and will shortly be here. The Vine Child Contact Centre provides a safe place for families where relationships are broken down and children aren't getting to see the parent they don't normally live with. And it provides a place where families can come and relationships can be rebuilt with parents. And Elaine and her wonderful team of volunteers have stories to tell of just that, of relationships being restored. And there is such a demand for the Child Contact Centre that we are hoping to double what we do from February, which will involve some extra volunteers. So if you've got some time and energy on a Saturday, Elaine would love to talk to you about that. And we have Frank and Beryl, who are near a star further back, who head up our Leeds Vineyard Ministry on the streets, where each Saturday a team head into Leeds taking food and drink to the big issue sellers and the homeless, building up relationships, offering to pray for them. And it's slow maintaining those relationships, but now Beryl has the honour of being listed as next of kin from one of the ladies she's met and gotten to know over the last 8 or so years, which is a real testament to how she feels about being loved and befriended. Now we have Anthony and Jane, who might currently be with the kids, but they are champions for a charity called Caring for Life, based just a couple of miles north of here. Now, Caring for Life aim to share the love of Jesus through offering compassionate and consistent care for those who've slipped through the net, often those who've been victims of abuse during their childhood. They provide homes, support in the community, and all sorts of therapeutic daytime activities, often for life if it's needed. They also have an amazing cafe with very good cake. I'd highly recommend you visit. So today you can sign up and commit to buying food, gifts, warm clothes for the clients of each of these projects. And we're also inviting you to pray on Christmas Day, to commit to praying for an hour, just remembering some of these people who you've heard about. You can also find out about getting involved. This doesn't have to be just a one-off thing at Christmas. There are opportunities to get involved right through the year. Each of these projects just can't happen without volunteers. I know that many of you are involved already, but there's always space for more. We also have Pete Sammons, who was up here on the guitar earlier, here for Reach Out Global, as a representative of our friends overseas who are committed to doing this in other countries. And we wanted to really encourage them that although they might be a long way away at Christmas, they're not forgotten. They're still very much in the hearts and minds of many here. We have Ivan and Libby, who are in Mexico with YWAM, who do all sorts, from building houses to sharing Bible stories with children, cooking for hundreds of people, and everything in between. And we have Ruth, who's in Asia, working in a school there. So those are just snapshots of these five projects, and we've heard stories over the previous weeks, and I'm sure our champions would love to tell you more if you'd like to speak to them. So as I learn about what Jesus did about the injustice in the world around him, I believe that this is what Jesus would do. This is why each year I really look forward to this Sunday, Love in Action, where we get to commit to making a difference in the lives of those around us, to ensure that people get a celebration, a feast, a gift, to know that they're loved and welcomed and remembered, and most of all to know that God loves them at Christmas. And as a community, we get to demonstrate humbly and gently, often never getting to meet the people who it directly benefits, that God loves them. To not force it on them, but to gently just say, God loves you. Here's a gift because God loves you. Here's some food because God loves you, whether you know it or not. Personally, I often feel really overwhelmed by the need I see around me. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. I don't know what to do. And for me, this gives me a chance to focus. It gives me something tangible to do to make a difference. So at the start of Advent, I'd also like to take you back to my initial challenge of question. Who is Jesus to you? Who is the Jesus that you identify with? And what are you going to do to become more like him during this Advent season? I'd like to invite you all to stand, and we shall pray.